Thank you, Steve. Pretty straightforward text there. Red letters from the mouth of Jesus telling us to go to Him when we're weary, when we're tired, when we're burdened. I'm sure you didn't come tonight to hear a good speaker. You're not going to hear one. But you're obviously here tonight to seek Christ, to seek Him as a refuge, to grow closer to Him, and to gain some rest in Him. The title you can see in your bulletin and the handout for tonight's message is called Social Media. A little bit of a play on words there from social media. S-O-U-L-C-I-A-L. Media, N-E-E-D-I-A. I was reading this week and it said that 2% of people that hear a good message will actually go and apply it to their lives and make changes in their lives. Very simply tonight, you'll probably hear nothing new, nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking. Very simple message. Just three questions, three goals: to decrease our usage of this and increase our usage of this, okay? Really simple stuff. Who's tired? Show of hands. Let's have fun. Who's tired? Oh, there's more than that. We're all pretty tired. Some of y'all are lying. Who in here has a smartphone? Higher, 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 higher. Google says 95% of us have smartphones of some sort. What happened in 2007? The invention of the smartphone. What happened in 2011? Instagram. What happened along the way? Anxiety. Depression. Obesity. Obesity. Body shaming. Work, work, work. I thought about talking about the Senate Bill 10 and the posting of the Ten Commandments in public schools tonight, but I changed my mind. Talking about another Ten Commandment. What's the only Ten Commandment that you can break and receive praise for? Let's make this interactive. Do we have a guest? A guest. Hope we have a guest. Do we have a guest? Anyone have a guess? What is the Ten Commandment you can break and receive praise for, either from a peer, a colleague, a fellow Christian? Come on. Breaking the Sabbath. Breaking the Sabbath, right? You can work yourself to death, break the Sabbath, not take any rest for yourself, yourself or your family, and receive praise. It just seems wrong. You go to Psalm 19:7. Let's turn there real quick. Psalm 19:7. I'll just keep you about 20 minutes. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Let's keep that in mind as we progress through here tonight. The law of the Lord is refreshing to the soul. And again, I'm preaching to myself tonight. I'm old school. I have an old soul. But I do like to get things done. I like to work. Have a term amongst friends. I like being hypervigilant in things. But oftentimes that can be detrimental to your soul. I'll give you my personal opinion. My personal opinion is social media is a net negative. We can discuss that afterwards or over breakfast. But my opinion, and again, consider I'm old soul. I don't like social media. I believe it's a net negative. My wife gave me a hard time. I kicked people out of our house last night at 9 p.m. That's how old I am. We had 50 or 60 people over for a soccer party. And I went to bed at 9. I also got friends made this for me. It's a a coaster for the coffee table. Please leave by 9:17. So you got to have boundaries. You got to have barriers. So, and I guess it's good that those boundaries and barriers are known amongst friends. That reminds me. How long has it been since we heard the thing, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? That, y'all remember that? Show of hands, who remembers that? Yeah, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? I feel like that was on the news or something back in the day. There was definitely a lot less riffraff back in that day. Midland's good, Midland can be bad. You can work yourself to death, you can do very, very well in this town. Think of the schedules we work in our lives. We have a guy. We have a guy on our soccer team. He has three phones, three work phones. That seems a bit much. Think about the oil field schedules we work. 24 hours on, 24 hours off. Aaron, your schedule we talked about. Where'd you go? It was like 2 days on, a couple days off. It can be a beatdown. So the goal for tonight is how do we seek refuge in Christ and recharge our souls? Gallup surveys say we touch these things 1 million times per year. It's about 2,000 times a day. I wish Truett was here to correct me, but I think it's like every 30 seconds or something like that, you're touching your phone. Now, I'm talking every letter may be a touch. I'm not sure. Are we touching this more than we touch this? 1 million times a year, we're on this thing. Think about how fast we move. Our souls can't keep up with these things. Again, I'm old school, old soul, I feel like. Do we ever fast from going so fast? I told Kanan, I think it was the 50s, it happened again also in the 70s or 80s, an airplane moving so fast, shot his ammo, shot his guns, and the ammo actually hit him. He was going so fast on the wrong trajectory, as he descended, he caught up, he was going Mach 1, he caught up, and the ammo actually, he ran into his ammo. Think about that. What trajectory are you on? How fast are you going? This is still introductory, by the way. Your soul is your connection to God. It's not to be cherished, grown, and intentionally maintained. I feel like we've normalized a life that can be sickening to our souls. We talked about depression, anxiety, outrage. The world's ran by extremes. Permacrisis, everything's a crisis. The world's going to end, Chicken Little. The sky is falling. I don't feel like this is really a season or phase anymore. Feels more like a lifestyle, and a lifestyle we have to identify within us and self-correct within us as Christians. So quickly now, just three questions to ask yourself, to personally self-evaluate yourself, self-reflect. Three questions to ask, and three efforts that you can make in this fast-paced society that we're living in. Fast-paced society ran by push notifications, download this app, GroupMe's, Class Dojos. Even the Bible app sends notifications. Do you love this app? That's a hard question to ask because then you get another follow-up question, leads to another follow-up question. So just be aware of things. Three questions. Is it well with your soul? Is your soul undernourished? And are you willing to partner with Jesus to keep your soul from the overabundant distractions around us? Let's go to Psalms 42, verse 1. Psalms 42, verse 1 for the first one. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. Very familiar verse. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Think about the corporate lifestyles we live. We book ourselves with meetings. Are you thirsting for Him? Are you longing for Him? Are you taking the initiative to go and meet with God? Number two, is your soul undernourished? These smartphones are often inflicting damage to our souls via the social media that we see and that we come across daily. They're dopamine dispensers. They pepper you with pleasure and then make money off of the time that you waste. Are you closer to God after you scroll on this thing for 30 minutes? The question to ask yourself. Oftentimes, I feel like we're just making our souls over anxious when we sit there and look at the negative news. Number three, are you willing to partner with Jesus and keep your soul from the overabundant distractions around us? You can't get away from them. So how do we, as believers, manage them and continue to grow our soul? So very, very, very specifically now, three ways to grow your soul. Kind of like we talked about this morning in Ryder's lesson. His was about the heart. This is three ways to grow your soul and your relationship closer to Christ. It's three things. Some of them are evident in Jesus' life, and some of them are just taken from other scriptures. Three S's. Scripture, sleep, and Sabbath, or rest. Scripture, sleep, and Sabbath. Let's go to Jeremiah 6:16 real quick. Jeremiah 6:16. You may be at a crossroads tonight, needing direction or seeking direction. It's pretty easy to see here where to find your direction. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. So you might be at a crossroads. The rest is found by taking the good way. You may be getting close to being burnt out. Rest is found taking the good way, the good path. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we probably all know that one. Outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. If you're getting in the Word and studying the Word, the exterior world is very good at decaying our exterior as well. So to ensure that inwardly we're taking time and spending time with God to grow. Probably most enlightening to me was 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. 3 John 1, 2 and 4. Consider the context here. You have Diotrephes, who was not welcoming other believers. And you have Gaius, who stepped up and took more of a lead role, and it seems like filled the gap there. But what I want you to see is it was evident to his peers or the people around him that he had a good soul. 3 John 1, verse 2 and 4. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It really stood out to me this week. Would someone write to you and say, pretty much say, I hope your physical body is as good as your soul? Or, is your physical body in the same state as your soul? So it was known that Gaius had a good soul, and the hope there from John is that his physical body is in the same state as his soul. Could that be said about you? So that's scripture. Number two, sleep. You can die from not having enough sleep. Sleep's important. Mark 6, verse 30 through 31. Let's go there. The apostles have been busy changing the world, spreading the good news. Mark 6, 30 through 31. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, he said. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Pretty obvious the apostles were popular. They'd have lots of likes, lots of thumbs up, and probably also lots of thumbs down. But they were gaining lots of attention and obviously changing the world. What did Jesus do? Red letters, Mark 6:31, told them to go somewhere quiet and get rest. We all know the story about Jesus calming the storm. Mark 4, Matthew 8. The disciples are on board. The storm's going crazy. There's water coming over the boat. The text, both in Matthew and Mark, say the boat was swamped. The men on board were terrified. Consider about a third of the men on board were fishermen, trained fishermen, probably lineages of fishermen, professionally trained fishermen, I guess you could say. And they even felt threatened. So consider they had spent lots of time on the water as well, and they were scared. Even to the point on board, the men on board said, they will surely drown. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. It says sleeping in the stern on a cushion. I kind of akin this to a pilot or an FAA agent being on a plane that you're on while the plane's going down and he's asleep. That would be a very deep, deep faith. So you have Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he's asleep as everyone else feels like the boat's going to sink. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, had peace and was asleep at that moment. He had to be awakened to calm the storm. Sleep is an act of faith. Psalm 4, verse 8. In peace I lie down, and in sleep for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safely. Go to bed and let God run the world. If you really want to disconnect from all the exterior distractions that we get, go to bed. Turn it off and go to bed. Before the light bulb was invented, it said that the U.S., that people slept about 10 hours a night. Now, on average, in the U.S., we get about 6 to 7 hours per night. The origins of sleep tight, we've all heard that. The origins of sleep tight, just another random thing. The origins of sleep tight had to do with you had four posts on your bed, you had wood railing along the perimeter, and then underneath supporting the cushions, you had ropes. So when you went to bed, you told your kids to sleep tight or to check those ropes to be sure that your mattress was not going to sag. You bring that home to our faith. How oftentimes we got to take a self-evaluation and go back and kind of tighten up our faith or tighten up our foundation. Lastly, so we talked about Scripture, we talked about sleep. What about Sabbath? And I'm not talking about Sabbath just as a specific day. I'm talking about Sabbath as a time for self-reflection and a dedicated time to seek refuge, a refuge of rest. Luke 5:16, Jesus was known as a withdrawer. He would go away. He'd go to a lonely place in Luke 5:16 and prayed. And again, if Jesus, the Prince of Peace, needed peace, I'm sure that we need to withdraw into silence as well to get away from some of these distractions. Fully man, fully God, still deliberately and intentionally taking time for rest and recover to grow closer to God. Going back to the Ten Commandments, when you think about it, if you look top to bottom, most of them say, thou shalt, ye shalt, or you shall, or thine and thee, or you and yo. The only one that sticks out that says something different is remember. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the rest. I never thought about that before. Rest may be taking a nap, turning off your screens, sitting in silence, sitting looking at creation. It's going to be different to everybody. But just I encourage you to take some time to truly sit back and reflect. Something different from the work, the hustle and the bustle, and all the noise. A time to be by yourself to grow the soul. You think back to when, I guess probably around the same time when they had that saying, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your kids are? Back then, businesses did not have the hours that they have now. Kids did not have the activities hours that they have now. About the only thing closed now is Chick-fil-A on Sundays, it seems like. Mental health was not an issue back then. I wonder if there's some correlation to that. So let's conclude. We had three questions tonight and three efforts. Three questions is what you're getting into on this. Is it well with your soul? Is your soul undernourished? And are you willing to partner with Jesus to protect your soul from the overabundant distractions around us? Just verbatim, as we conclude, think about the work, the stimulation, the enjoyment you may receive from getting things done, or the dopamine drop from getting a text message or a red dot or a blue dot or a push notification or whatever it might be, that pleasure that pops up. But at the end of your life, does that really matter? Obviously, it does not. What's going to matter is, did you become somebody that loved God and loved other people? You cannot love God and people if you're depleted. You can't love God if you're in a hurry. I don't know anybody that ran with Jesus. A lot of people walk with Jesus. I don't know anybody that actually ran with Jesus. Would you want John's comment and said that about you, about, I hope your physical body is the same shape as your soul? The world's going to go on. Turn this off. Delete some apps, whatever it might be. The devil does not take any time off, so don't be like him. We all know some of the most common sayings at funerals is, bless his soul, or rest his soul, or may his soul rest in peace. Take time for yourself now. Non-Christians read Christians, not Bibles or other. Or non-Christians read Christians. They don't read Bibles or other spiritual content or other spiritual podcasts. Be soul-oriented, encouraging, and loving. If you slow down and prioritize Christ, you'll end up catching up to him. Don't fall for the comment trap. That's where the devil hangs out. There's no need to comment on everything. Now, some of the funniest stuff is in the comment section, I know. That's entertaining. But don't fall for the comment trap. Live at peace with everyone. Hebrews 12, 14, and Romans 12, 18 very specifically says it's possible and achievable. It just depends on you to live at peace with everyone. Lastly, you may love Jesus, but you love spending time with him. Your efforts will need to be a priority, and your attention will need to be intentional to help combat just the social media day-to-day chaos. It's not a season. It's not a phase. Yes, I'm an old soul, but I think at this point we need to learn how to manage it. And you can manage that by, again, getting in the Scriptures, sleeping, and taking some Sabbath rest, taking some true rest or refuge in him to combat some of the negativity and clickbait material that we see each and every day. So as we leave you with two last scriptures, Ecclesiastes 3:11 and 2 Corinthians 3:3-6. No one can fathom all that God has done, but we are designed with eternity in our hearts. We talked a lot about Ecclesiastes 3:11 during VBS. I'm not here as a know-it-all. I struggle big time with text messages and emails. I'm the guy that wants to respond back immediately, and that's a downfall. So I'm not here to know it all. No one can fathom all that God has done, but we're all designed with eternity in our hearts. Considering that, you think about the Great Commission and being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:3-6 says, we're competent and capable to talk about the new covenant as believers and people that have lives committed to Christ. So I'd encourage you to do that as we leave the assembly. You're not a know-it-all. Everybody has eternity in their hearts. But in Christ, you're competent and capable to communicate in the community about Christ and the new covenant. It's a lot of C's there. So please keep that in mind. If there's a need tonight to be added into Christ, or maybe you need prayers of the congregation or a special request in the congregation, I hope this has been encouraging to you. Keep in mind, we talked about a lot of negative type stuff tonight. But keep in mind, the New Testament, Christians and those in Christ are called blessed and beloved time and time again. So keep that in mind. But if there's a need this evening, please come as we stand and sing.